just thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do in everyone that is here and everyone that is listening today. Father, I just ask right now that you go into the living rooms and where, or maybe offices, and that the Holy Spirit will just minister to the people that are there, and that they can be encouraged, that they can have a good day, that they can make it another day, that you care about them. And Father, I pray right now that this message, what you want to get out to your people, will go forth mightily, Father, be anointed by you. So Father, we surrender who we are. And we ask right now, and we welcome the Holy Spirit in. And we ask the Holy Spirit to take over this meeting right now in Jesus' name, the only name that is important, Jesus. And so I encourage everyone to hear the Lord say, I am with you, I am for you, and that you can make it. So Father, I thank you, I praise you for what you're going to do today. This is your day. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. And so let's worship the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Give God today. Let's turn to Psalms 147. Before I read the psalm, I want you to look up here what Pastor Marie has. She says, building a wall, building a people. That's pretty powerful words that we should take heart, because we are that people. And there's people out there that need us. And when we join with them, we have a great army of the Lord.
Amen.
To build that wall that will never fall.
Hallelujah.
So I want to encourage you today. So, back to Psalms 147. Praise to God for the word of his providence. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful.
Hallelujah.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power.
Hallelujah.
His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with a cloud, and who prepares rain for the earth. Who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and whose hope in his mercy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and it melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dwelt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. There is nothing like praising the Lord. I'm telling you, it's easy to praise him in the good times. But when we have to praise him, we don't have to, but when we do, praise him all the time. It's just amazing what he does for each one of us. We're to praise him. That's what the word of God says, to praise him. Now, the Lord really impressed on my heart to do Nehemiah about 3 weeks ago, and I thought, oh, Nehemiah, Lord, you know, what am I supposed to say to your people about Nehemiah? And I was just kind of having this time with the Lord, and he said, I want you to talk about Nehemiah back then, but what does it mean to you today? You see, the word is living, and it's always going, and it's always creating. And so we have to spend time. So the Nehemiah is right after Ezra in the Old Testament and right before Esther. So if you want to turn to Nehemiah, I would like you to do that. And most people don't really spend a lot of time, but anybody that even wants to be in leadership, anybody that wants to find out about prayer, anybody wants to know the next move of God, they should be reading the book of Nehemiah. Most of us are reading Isaiah, or we read the Psalms or whatever. But the Lord wants us to understand the book of Nehemiah. So hopefully everybody's found it. And it says, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hashilah. It came to pass in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Now the gates back then, as well as today, are the entrance ways into your city, into the city of Frankfurt, into the city of a certain nation. Anyways, the gates is the entrance way, and that's where the enemy hangs up. Because if he can stand at the gates, he can cause all kinds of destruction. And if you're not aware of what is going on, or even understand what is going on, well, so what? There's the gates. But the Lord is trying to awaken his church to what is going on in our nation, what is going on in our cities, what is going on. Why is the enemy in camp? And why are not all the churches arising to do something about it? A few are. I'm not cutting down any denomination, and I'm not cutting down churches in general. I am just saying this is the time to wake up. This is the time to reach out. This is the time to pray. Verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Verse 5, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servant, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you, Lord. and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which are commanded by your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. That might not mean anything to you. But what he is saying here is he is seeing those that are part of the Lamb. And he is seeing the separation of what the word calls the goats. What he's saying is the people that are the Lamb are the people that are listening to what God wants to take place, what he wants to do. The Lamb are his. He's the great shepherd. But the goats are the ones who are saying, eh, there ain't no God. You know, if there was a God, you know, why didn't he stop the tornado? Why didn't he stop a hurricane? Why didn't he? And they get very, very critical, nor are they really looking for an answer or a strategy to what is going on. I would say probably my opinion, for 2 years, there's been great separation. Yes. I am not saying that you have to come in to a church building, because the church are the people. It is you. It is the people who are believers. But he's saying that you need to come together corporately. Ever so often you should be in church getting fed and just not going, oh, well, that was a really great Sunday. Monday comes along and all hell breaks loose. Come on, let's get real here. Well, you know, it was so good when I was there. Everything was good. And blah, blah, blah. But when I got home, this happened, that happened, blah, blah. So what are you doing about it? So once you hear the message, you're to apply it to your life. I can't do that for you. Joe can't do that for you. You have to do it for yourself, and you have to take that word and say, wow, this is what's happening in my life. But you know what, Lord? I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to trust in you. I know you're going to guide me and direct me. And there's always people that have one foot in the world. And what I mean by the world is they ain't following Jesus. Oh, dear gosh. There's plenty of time for that. I don't really think there's plenty of time for this. And they have one foot, you know, in church or, you know, being a Christian, and one in the world, and oh, they're just really struggling. And I really believe that as God is calling that remnant to come before him, to come into his presence and seek him. So here is Nehemiah, the cupbearer to the king. And he's hearing about all this destruction that has happened and how the walls are falling down and how it looks bad. Well, let's see. Well, how can we put that like today? Well, when you come by the church, do you see the grass super high? Or maybe the Lord is saying to you, get out your lawnmower, cut the grass, the church. Or maybe you see something that's not here at the church, or the toilets have to be cleaned, or chairs have to be done because this is the house of the Lord. Well, it doesn't mean that you should be sitting home and in your la-la land and just having a great old time. It means, hey, you might have to get your feet dirty. It might mean that you have to see what is going on and become a part of that. My biggest cry, and other people in this particular church, is we're seeing kids who have no foundation. And what I mean by that is they don't even know the first book of the Bible. I'm not saying all kids. I'm saying in general. So they don't have anything about this word. They hear a little bit of this from their friends and this and that, and then, hey, you know, they're just trying out new things and they're getting in trouble and they don't know what to do. And I want you to know that when you have that foundation of the word, no matter what comes into your life, whether it's destruction in the city, God's going to give you a strategy. He's going to help you move forward. It is getting out from where you are and taking that first step. Well, the Word of God says, what I've been reading this morning is, Nehemiah was crying. fasting, praying. So let's kind of go on a little bit. The Lord said, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling in my name. My gosh, what's that mean? Well, that means if you blow it out there, you sin out there, you don't even have no part of Jesus in your life, you know what he's saying? I give you another chance. Come on home. That's what he does all the time. He's a God of second chances, third chances. He wants all people, all races, to be able to come to know who he is, to know that he is love, to change who they are, to repent. But you know what? That's the Holy Spirit's job. You're to bring them in. You're to disciple them. You're to show them that there's light in you and there's light in Jesus, that they may want to come in. Are you hearing from the Holy Spirit this morning? And are you concerned enough to do something about it? What's going on? So he's a God of second chances, third chances, who dwell in my name, the name above all names. That's Jesus. That's the Yeshua. Now, there are you servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Hey, you guys, he took everything on the cross. He took every sin, and all sins are bad. All. Not one is worse than the other, except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So I really want you to hear this from the Holy Spirit this morning. His great name, the power that is part of God, the power that is in Jesus, can change you. Isn't that exciting? We read and sang about his great power. We're not just not singing words. You know, I don't know about you, but I've learned some of the plans that I think I have for my life. That isn't what God had planned. We have to seek him. What do you want me to do about it? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? You know, when we surrender me, when we surrender us, he just takes a hold of us and guides us where we want to go. Well, I can control this. I can control that. I can control this hand. I can control who's going up here. But you know, when the Holy Ghost comes upon that and the music starts a-flowing, the word starts a-flowing, your life starts a-flowing. Are you hearing me this morning? Verse 11. Oh Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. Everyone who is a believer is a son and daughter of the Most High God. And I love to know that I'm serving my King. And to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. That means you're not to be scared of them. I just wish that when they rewrote or interpreted the Bible, that they really didn't use just that word fear, because most, if you were to talk to people, they think when it says fear God, it means, you know, hide out in your closet, hide out under your covers, you know, just hide out. That is not what the fear of the Lord means. The fear of the Lord is to respect his sovereignty, to respect who he is, to know that he's in control. What? Oh, his great name is my favorite. Everybody knows that. And then the second part, desire to fear your name. I turned on a TV program, and it was really good at the beginning. Oh, it was exciting. And all of a sudden, all these words came out, you know, and it was just hitting my spirit. Like, why did they have to put those swear words in there? Why did they have to just, you know, just, have you ever noticed, they don't say, oh, Buddha. know, they say, oh, Jay-Z, you know, or oh, JC this, or blah, 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 and I'm going, oh my gosh, I just can't believe it. You know, it's like, it just like, if the world can just blaspheme his name, there's no respect for his name. His name is the only name that should be on our lips, is the name of Jesus. Are you with me this morning or not? Okay. So, he says, O Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy. Grant me mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2, he goes before the king. Now, I don't know if you know much about a cupbearer. I didn't until I really researched it. Inside your bulletin, I put a picture of Nehemiah coming before the king holding the cup. You see, people back in that time wanted to poison the king. So a cupbearer always tasted the wine before the king. It was a big position. It was an important position to the king. To maybe the people of the court, it was, here comes Nehemiah, the cupbearer, But you know, anything you do for the king, anything you do for Jesus, anything you do is important to the Lord. Can you hear me this morning? The littlest thing he appreciates. You know, have you ever noticed that before? I have, as I've gotten older, how much these little tiny things that have to be done, the king really loves it when you do it. Because, hey, to make things run, to make things keep on going, we all have to be doing something for the kingdom. So no matter whether you think it's small, maybe to the Lord Jesus Christ is big. So I don't want you to misunderstand this right from the beginning. Every position that you do for the king, he likes it. He knows it. And I'm sorry, but he writes it down in the book. So are you willing to be used by God to rebuild the walls of your city? You know what? There's lots of hatred. Hatred for color. Hatred for religions. Just hatred out there. And what I kept on hearing from the Lord is that causes a destruction. I don't know about you, but when I told you a long, long time ago, if you've been here, that when people really tick me off, I love to hit the delete button and so long, goodbye. Don't need you. Don't need all that. Don't blah, blah, blah. And then the Lord goes, you know, I ain't going to put that person that you just wanted deleted sit right next to you in church. And I went, that's not fair. But you see, he was trying to rebuild my character. He was looking at things that were flawed in me and helping me to really have his heart. Now, don't you love it when people say, you know, I'll pray for you. You don't know if they pray for you or not. Or you never see anybody that really gets on Facebook or, how can I say it, or messages, and they just go, oh, I'm so sorry this is going on, I'll pray for you. And then you never hear from them, you never get a call, you never get anything. Or there are people, I was watching this comedian, and he was calling someone on the phone. He goes, okay, just love you. See you later. Just love you. The guy's gone. It was a guy to a guy, and I don't mean it in the wrong way, how someone can interpret it, but he was going, he said, in his phone conversation, loves me? What kind of a weirdo is that? Now, Now, this is what I wanted to show you. How many times do we do that? How many times do I go, oh, I just love you, Karen, and then she calls me up and goes, oh, dang, I wish she had not called me today. Oh, love you, Karen. Love you. And it's not sincere. So, what I'm trying to say this morning is that when we move by the Holy Spirit, and we are at the gates, and we've prayed and fasted about something we don't like that is going on, we really have to have Jesus' heart. You really have to care about other people. You have to really want things to change in their life. So as we go through the whole book of Nehemiah, there are lessons in it that hopefully will open up your eyes and your ears to hear for yourself. Open up your spiritual eyes. Truthfully, many people are saddened by COVID-19. It's for real. Some people have lost loved ones. But what I feel is the more we keep on crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only answer. Whether it's Him talking to a physician, whether it's Him taking over a situation, the only answer to that is Jesus. He's the only answer for it. But what the Lord kept on saying to me is, how many times do we pray? Oh, you show up on Tuesdays here. Oh, thank you very much for showing up on Tuesdays. But do we get up and pray? Do we pray before we go to bed? You know, before I left this morning, you know, I got out my anointing oil and I anointed my daughter myself, and I said, well, you know, I can't go in myself. I have to have the Holy Spirit give me the strength and the anointing to do what I have to do up here today. You see, we can do the best that we can do, but when that anointing comes on us, we can conquer everything. That's what Nehemiah did. He cried out to the people. He was so saddened by what had happened. He prayed. He fasted. And then he went before the king, and the king gave him permission to rebuild the wall. So, when everything is going really good in our life, I have my little area and I just praise the Lord. You know, maybe I'm dancing, you know, whatever. Just full of joy. But when a crisis happens in your life, you have to be able to fall on your knees before the Lord and say, man, I need help. I need to hear you. I need to hear your voice. I need to know what to do. And one of the things that I have found for years, ever since I've been seven, from seven to the age that I am now, that when I call on the Lord, He is always there. He is. Whether He sends angels from on high, whether someone comes into my life and encourages me. And I'm just telling you with all honesty that the more you search Him, the more you get into His presence, the more He will give you the strategies in your broken life. He'll rebuild your walls. Your walls can be the problems that you're going through every day. The other thing that I put down here is that when Nehemiah, he was a Jew, and that really was a high position, that cupbearer. So let me explain this to you. Down to earth. I've had people say, oh, I'm going to go with you on a conference. Oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, you know, this is going on or that's going on in your life, but you know, I'm just going to battle heaven for you. If you are a person who feels like you are supposed to be around me and the Lord's called me out to do something, you better have been in prayer and ask the Lord if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Are you hearing me? If you've got a message that you're given from the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now all hell can break through. It might affect your children. It might affect your house church. It might affect all kinds of things. You've got to be in prayer. You have to fast. You have to be prepared and go out, because the Lord will send those angel armies around you to protect you and rebuild what the devil wants to destroy in you. You really got to know who you are. You have to know that. You've got to know that when all hell breaks out around you, and the Lord said, oh, I want you to go to the city of Frankfurt, and I want you to talk to the chamber there and say this, this, and that. You better know that that's what the Lord wants you to do. And when you have prayed, He will open that door, and you're going to walk through that door, and you're going to have favor, because you've come from the Lord. And I really believe that that is what the Lord is asking for today. Pour out your heart to the Lord. What do you have for me to do? How am I supposed to do it? How am I supposed to go about it? So in chapter 1, Nehemiah is more than a story about rebuilding a wall. It says, I give you hope. He gives us hope. Judy, He gives you hope. That you can make it. Without that, you feel hopeless. You feel like, how am I going to do it? But it is His hope that's a beginning for right now today. It's hope. It's saying, stop saying, this is what's wrong with me, or this is what I got to do, saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. Tell me how to do it. Now, I'm a person that, man, you know, I'm time management. I got to have this all set. You know, I got to have this whole plan. I've already prayed and everything. And what the Lord has told me is sometimes He'll say, well, I don't want you to go do that. I said, well, wait a minute now. Now, on this day right here, you told me that I was supposed to blah, 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 and that you were going to go with me, and I had already prayed, so what's the problem? And the Lord says, you ain't ready. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we have to wait on Him for His timing to go forth. God's work through His servants, this is what He said to me. He gave me three things. He says He rebuilds our lives out of stress. Isn't that powerful? The second one, He says He restores our heart. You ever had anybody pierce your heart? Have you ever had someone that you love so much hurt you so bad, and you just want to rip that person apart? You ever feel like that? Man, if that person bothers me one more time, they better get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them out. Now you might go, oh, you wouldn't feel like that. Yes, I have. But you know what the Lord does when you go into prayer and fast? He goes, I'll take care. You just keep on praying to me. I'll fix everything. Well, I'm just going to give that person a piece of my mind, because that's exactly what I want to do, and I'm just going to feel so much better. And you know what? It gets worse. You're expecting it to be better, and it's worse. So God showed me that He restores hearts, and He helps circumstances beyond our understanding. Isn't that good? And the other thing He said was to reset the criteria by which we are to build or rebuild our lives. And I thought to myself, reset the criteria? My gosh, Lord, can you make this a little bit simpler? And what He's saying is, sometimes we make it out to be such a big deal that we just need to sit down, listen to both sides of the circumstance, and then move forward as the Lord tells us. I mean, come on. How powerful is that? If we, like Nehemiah, desire to know and to do God's will, as it is in heaven, as well as here on earth, we got to be willing to die of ourselves. We gotta be willing to stay in touch with him. Oh, let's see. I think I'm gonna talk to the Lord. Maybe Wednesday. No, I got an appointment Wednesday. Maybe I'll talk to the Lord. Maybe Thursday. You really have to discipline yourself to be talking with him all the time. Doesn't mean that you have to run to the church. Doesn't mean that you have to run to where you go in your room maybe to pray. It's just saying, talk with me. Spend time with me. I'm that available. It's that easy. But you have to be willing, no matter how busy you are, to take the time to ask him what you're supposed to be doing. And like I said, Nehemiah prayed, asked. So what the Lord says to me is that we have to stay in touch with our Father. We have to know the crisis is right here in Benzie County. Hey, we're part of Benzie County. What's the crisis that's going on right now? The battle is the Lord's, not yours. But what he is saying, pray. Pray. Maybe he's going to hook you up with somebody or, you know, so that you both can pray together. I don't know. But whenever a crisis comes, the first thing is, whoop, 911, 911, 911. And you start dialing it, and the first responders come out, and they access the situation, and they act upon it, and all that kind of stuff, and they assess what they should do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what about praying first? What about seeing if the Lord will handle the situation first?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Come on. Some good stuff. Mm-hmm. When we become aware of the crisis at the city gates, it'll affect me directly. It might affect me indirectly because, you know, there's different things, and I use this as an example, that might be going on in Traverse City. Well, that's kind of indirectly affecting me. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord has you pray. We pray for the nations. We pray for island nations. I never even heard of them. But we pray all the time asking the Lord how we are to pray for them. What provision are we supposed to pray for? Are we just supposed to pray that you're with them, you know, when a hurricane comes along? Example given. And how moved are we with tears? Well, I'm not going to cry about that. I can just be so strong, and I can just pray. You know what? Some of us need to learn to cry. Some of us need to cry out to the Lord, really, because we're so concerned about marriages, children, whatever. Cry out. I'm just putting something more. I remember we had a situation that happened 3 years ago, and we were all prayed up and ready to go and the whole thing. And we got there, and you know what melted my heart, and I never forgot? It was when we walked into this neonatal ICU unit, and I saw my husband fall on his knees. Something to me. How concerned are we for other people? Can we fall on our knees? Are we worried about the germs that could have been on the floor? Are we just falling on our knees because it's out of your hands? I believe with all my heart
heart. That the Lord is asking all of us listening by Facebook, podcast, all of us that are here today, if you fall on your knees, surrender you, and pray. Pray for this nation. Pray for the city. Pray for the people. Pray for your president. Declare that the enemy is not going to have the United States. It still brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. You know, when I was in my 20s and would go to church, we always had intercessors, and the intercessors, they were praying and whooping and crying and marching up and down and hope that they would come your way because you weren't prepared for them to come your way. And you know, it was like they were interceding all the time for the service, or they were interceding for the people that went on and still goes on from the church that I go to, and most of us barely can get here by 10:30. Gosh, I shouldn't say that. Okay, come. We have to discipline ourselves. We need to want to get here and get into His presence and say, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me to give out? How can I be that light in the dark when I barely scramble myself to the church? Come on. We have to have such a heart cry for what is out there today. This world is in trouble. And there is just heaven. And there is just hell. And where is your family going? Where is your loved ones going? Are you interceding for them? And do you have that cry so deep inside of you that you just want people to come to know who Jesus is? He's the only way. I shared with someone about Todd White and he's an evangelist and all the things that went on in his life. Like, my gosh. But the Lord took a hold of that life. And He's so powerful right now. He'll walk the streets. He'll pull the prostitutes in. He'll pull the people who are suffering so bad that are looking just to be loved. We are supposed to be like that. Words of care. You know, when I was watching the whatever was going on in Lebanon and the people that were hurt and the kids that were running and the blood that was all over the street. I didn't know one person in Lebanon, but I'm telling you, I cried out, oh God, have mercy. Mercy, God. Help every hospital worker. Help them, God. Help them to get past what's going on. We have to have a true compassion for people all over. We should want the best for them. And everything is not their fault. It's just because they grew up in it. They don't know any different. But we as people, we're supposed to have that light and be able to say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want you to know how we can help you. It crushed me to see what they were going through. Genuine concern for the plight of people wandering away without a shepherd. Some people can pick themselves up. I don't know how strong I'd be. I'm so thankful that the Lord's in my life. But you know what it said in Nehemiah in chapter 1? He wept and he lifted up the fallen people who had lost their lives, went before the king, which you'll find out next Sunday, and begged the king to allow him to go. It took money. Oh my gosh, let's see, I got a quarter here. You know, I can put that quarter in for, you know, for the kingdom. That should help. Oh, you know, I got a 20 here. Maybe I'll just put 10 in, take 10 out of the offering thing, and you know what? You know, I can use that 10. You need to ask the Lord, what are you supposed to be tithing? What are you supposed to be giving? There's so much that we want to do for people that we're waiting for the provisions to come in. Come on, He can provide. The money's His, it's not yours. You need to want to further what is to go on out there. So I plead with people that even on Facebook and podcasts, hey, can you send us some money? Can you send us a word of encouragement? Do you care enough that we really want to reach the lost people before the Lord returns? He's not coming back as the little beautiful baby Jesus and the little lamb. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's coming back as a judge.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Either you're with Him or you're not.
That's right.
And I believe His return is faster than you think.
Amen.
We need to be moving. We need to be doing things. We need to be reaching. We need to be the light. The one thing I wrote down here too, although the king controlled everything, the king still allowed him to have his signet ring. His signet ring is what he put into the paperwork to say, anybody recognize that? That's from the king. The king said we could rebuild the wall. The king said we could do this. The king said that. The king gave him his signet ring. Are you hearing me this morning? Do you have the signet ring from the Lord? Are you sealed by the Lord? Are you playing games? When you have the signet ring of the Lord, His mercy endures forever. He gives you new things every day. Nehemiah could have been an insult because some people just thought he was the cupbearer. You let that person on your praise and worship team, you know what that person is like? Blah, blah. God forgives, man don't forgive.
That's right.
Come on. So what I want to try to get across to you is this. That we're to have godly character, care about other people, and rebuild the gates that have been torn down in our area. I don't care who knows it. It crushes my heart to know how many marijuana places are zooming up in our area. It breaks my heart to know how many babies have been aborted. It breaks my heart to know that we take parts of babies even to make the vaccine. Oh, you don't know. It breaks my heart to see young people feel like they have to follow the crowd instead of knowing who they are in Jesus Christ and taking a stand. No, I ain't doing that. I'm going to run to Jesus for an answer. It breaks my heart to see how many kids all over show themselves on Snapchat, show themselves on different types of media things, and you have people that are out there that are just looking for that. Just looking to grab that person. You don't have to show off everything that God has given to you. I mean, from your physical body, you should be clean cut. You should look a certain way. I'm just telling you. I believe you need to carry yourself. I'm not saying you have to have brand new shoes, brand new shirt, that isn't where I'm coming from. What I'm trying to say is that when the Lord cleans you up and you become born again, you can help someone else be cleaned up, born again, and come to know Jesus. That's what He wants. The other thing that I wrote down here from the Lord was that we need to pray to God first
fast about it and wait for an answer and move on. Is that not good? I mean, this sounds simple, but why are we doing it? Nehemiah prayed about one specific thing that mattered to him, and that was the walls of Jerusalem. What are we praying about? Last Sunday, I thought it was so powerful when Vicki said, her response was, you know, what aren't we targeting? When we see a certain prayer, what haven't we targeted right? What was the root cause of that? Lord, give us a way so that we know how to pray about this so that change takes place. That was powerful. Good discussion. And you know what I wrote down here? That anytime we look to the Lord, he gives us direction. You might not like it, but he gives us direction. Every time we look to the Lord, he gives us provision. It might not be a $100 bill, but he will provide for us. He's kept this church going. He's given us provision. Thank you, Lord. Every time we talk about his great name, he gives us protection. He protects us. We don't have someone shooting through the church. We don't have to hide. He protects us. When we use his great name, he gives salvation. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Isn't it good to know that he died on the cross for you and me, and it's finished. It's done. It's taken care of. We have to watch what comes out of our mouth. We have to talk the truth. We have to speak the word. Well, I'm really sick today. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to stay sick. And still you start saying, you know what? I know I'm not really feeling good today, but I'm trusting the Lord, and I feel better today. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We have to watch what comes out of our mouth. And it sounds so easy, but it's not. We have to speak it. We have to speak his word. The other thing that I wrote down here also is there's a lot of broken relationships, and I told you that God was mending a lot of those relationships. But you got to be willing to ask the Lord to help you look at yourself. Well, I know I was right. And there's the problem. Sometimes we're the problem. But he says this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal your gates. I will heal your land. I think if there was any theme verse for 2020, it's that one. So anyways, all that I want to say is, let your prayers be genuine. Really have a true concern for people. And I also wrote down here, pray, pray, pray. And if you can fast, I don't know, maybe because it was my training. But there are ways to fast. It could be a meal. It might be a beverage. It might be your favorite diet Coke that you're not supposed to have that day. There's different ways to fast. I'm not trying to be off the wall. I'm just trying to tell you, it's not my place to tell you to fast for 40 days. Because I've only done that 3 times in my life. And I thought I was dying. I'm serious. But what I realized when I got finished with that, wow, what the Lord had done for me in those 40 days. Again, in the words. So what I'm saying is pray, fast, and allow the Lord to show you how you can be the light in the darkness. And chapter 1, have a genuine concern like Nehemiah and rebuild the wall. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for having us get in this book of Nehemiah. I ask for wisdom and direction. I ask that you seal what was said in this place on Facebook and everything. And I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.